Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I'd like to share a little history with you right now. You know, records was made to be broken, but not this one. Nat King Cole was the greatest singer, one of the greatest.
Take it for granted all the time. Tonight, Christmas Eve. I'm excited. I hope you are too. Oh, oh yeah. It's December 24th, 2010. United States of America, planet Earth, third planet from the sun. I'm your host, Dr. C. Robert Jones. Let's get down to it. We want to talk about the origins of Christmas. We you know, the political stuff and you know, current events and all that's very important, but this is the season. This is the reason for the season. Christmas season. And tonight, Christmas Eve, we're going to talk about the origins of Christmas, and maybe I'll share a story or two with you about my Christmas, and perhaps you'll call in and you'll share a Christmas story of your own. The toll-free number is 877-666-9305. The guest call-in number, other than that, is 347-884-8500. Oh, man. It has been one heck of a day. And I'm not going to use the other H word because, you know, it's Christmas Eve. So, let's see. What can we... What should we get started with right now? Oh, the origins of Christmas. Yeah, a lot of folks don't really know the origins of Christmas. They don't really. Not really. I mean, but so we're going to talk just a little bit about it and try not to bore you too much with the gory details of the origins of Christmas. I'll spell it out real fast and just kind of get it out there. I'm going from memory on most of this, so I do have some handwritten notes, but most of it's from my own memory. So, well, let's get right down to it. Please bear with me if I pause for a minute to recall some of the things I'd like to share. Okay. Well, let's first start with Christmas is a holiday shared and celebrated by many religions. It is the day that has an effect on the entire world. To many people, it is a favorite time of the year. It involves gift giving, parties, good food, and you know, Christmas is a holiday that unifies almost all of professing Christendom. The spirit of Christmas. It causes people to decorate their homes and churches, cut down trees, and bring them into their homes, like I did. Well, I didn't cut it down, but, you know, it was cut down for me and brought into the house. And of course, we deck them out with all sorts of Christmas lights and, you know, that sort of thing. It's really, really quite cool. I think we have our caller on the line. Let's see who it is. Caller, who am I talking to?
That's 817. That's me. It's AR.
Hey, AR, how you doing?
All right. My computer wasn't going through. I couldn't hear you guys' radio program, so I just called in. I'm not really familiar with the topic today. If you could, you know, just catch me up.
Well, right now the topic is the origins of Christmas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you familiar with the origin of Christmas?
Well, I look at the Bible as a, you know, astrology. You know, astronomy is not meant to be taken literally. I know there was no Jesus. It's all just recycled Egyptian folklore and African folklore. And I don't really take anything literally. I try to live as close to reality as possible, you know. It can't be weighed or measured. It does not exist.
Well, you're hitting pretty close to the mark. Christmas actually predates the birth of Jesus Christ, and you're absolutely right. The date December 25th comes from Rome and was a celebration of the Italic god Saturn and the rebirth of the sun god. And so there's an awful lot going on there that makes up December 25th, and of course, it is fact that December 25th is not the official birth date of Jesus. Scholars, biblical scholars, have it actually sometime in September, and in some cases in August. There's a lot involved in that calculation. So you're absolutely right. It's mostly a symbol. We celebrate December 25th as the birth of Jesus Christ, basically as a symbol of our Christian faith, and really nothing more than that. And a lot of the traditions are passed down from generation to generation, and they encompass all cultures throughout the world to culminate in what we celebrate as this Christmas season. Anything to add to that?
Not really. You know, I was brought up Baptist, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
after, you know, doing my own little research, and if I'm just, you know, I just try to stay as close to reality as possible, and I really don't believe in any folklore. You know, the more I study history and the more I study man and cultures, it really just seems like man is just scared and ignorant, and kind of just makes up these stories to help himself feel better. So I'm just trying to just live closer mm-hmm. to reality as possible, and, you know, but I respect, my mother's a pastor, and we talk all the time about religion, and, you know, she sent me to college, and, you know, she spent all this mm-hmm. money, and when I come out an atheist, you know, she's a little upset about it, but, you know, you're mm-hmm. trying to, you know, pick up things, and, you know, while you're going, learning and whatever, but,
Would you agree that a lot of the history and traditions of let's just stick with the Christian faith and the celebration of Christmas are rooted in actual fact. I have done a lot of biblical scholar work, and of course I'm a historian, so. You throw that in the mix, and I tend to agree with you that a lot of what we do and a lot of the traditions we celebrate are meant to not just to make us feel good, but to provide us with hope. For example,
it's opiate is religion not a great opiate, a great placebo? You know, to me, you know, that seems what I get out of it, but, you know.
Well, the way I put it yesterday in the yesterday's show is, you know, the majority of religions in this world are celebrated by the majority of the people on this planet. There are very few atheists, people who do not believe in any god whatsoever, in when compared to the millions upon millions of people who do believe in some form of god or religion. And
so you guys create your own matrix, you know, even though everyone believes in it,
mm-hmm.
does it make it real? It's like, it's almost like, since all these people believe in it, that means
mm-hmm.
this is our matrix, and you guys get into our matrix, or, you know, get out, you know. It,
mm-hmm.
it seems like, you know, it doesn't seem like, just because everyone agrees that there's some type of higher power, that it, okay, since everyone agrees with it, that makes it real. It seems like it's some type of matrix that you guys are building, and
mm-hmm.
if you can't, you know, get with the program, you know, to the wasteland with you, you know, to, you know.
Well, you know what? I don't agree with that. But I agree with what you're saying, but I don't agree with that last part. What I would say to you is, people like me, I have faith that there is a higher power, although I cannot prove it. I believe, and I have faith, and I believe based on faith. Now, obviously, you don't, and I understand that, and I have no issue with it, really. But if I have faith, that by definition, you do not have faith. And if you don't, then why don't you? Why? I mean, if you don't believe that there's a God, and you don't, and you believe that religions are made up to make people feel good about themselves, and in a way, I agree with you on that. Why don't you believe?
It's the examination of evidence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm only like 26 years old, so
right.
The only thing I can do is examine evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And if it can't be weighed or measured, for
mm-hmm.
me, it does not exist. You have
okay.
to bring evidence. There's too many con men out here. There's too many con games.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of have to filter through the bullshit and
yeah.
kind of, you know, because I don't want to get conned. I don't have
yeah.
anything against church or, you know, these mega churches. It's not what you're selling. It's what I decide to buy into. So you can sell whatever you want to sell. So it's up to me to decide, what am I going to buy? Am I going to buy into Buddhism? Or am I going to buy into Islam? Am I going to buy into Christianity? So I just want to be on my game, the much on my game as possible, so I don't get conned. Because I look at the world as a perpetual con game. You know, McDonald's is trying to con me, and, you know, Walmart. Everything seems to be a con to me. So I try to like to just try to live as level, close to reality as possible, so I don't get conned. So I don't, you know, take my money and give to a church and come to find out a month later this pastor's, you know, molesting, you know, little boys or whatever. So I just want to, you know, I try to live close to reality as possible. And, it, you know, I don't have any problem with any religion. You guys can do whatever you want to do, as long as it doesn't, you know.
You know what I find unfortunate about this conversation? It's going to surprise you. Most of what you just said, I completely agree. And I was about to, honestly, I was about to say, you know, it sounds to me like you're suffering from some form of paranoia. And then I thought, you know, everybody has an angle at McDonald's. You know, they want to sell stuff, so they'll talk you into buying their stuff. Walmart, they want to sell stuff, so they'll cut prices on a great many items while raising prices on some others, and then hoping that you'll go in and buy a lot of the sale items. But then again, you might see some of the other stuff and buy that's not on sale or price dropped, and that'll balance out the sale items. That's how people that's how stores do when they're doing these big huge sales. And so that is a form of a you know, an angle. And then when you talked about churches and, you know, putting money into, like some people say, you know, 10% of your income or 5% or whatever that amount is, and putting it into the collection plate just so the preacher can drive around in a big fine Cadillac and have a nice house and live really large, and really all he does is, you know, give a sermon for 45 to 60 minutes on Sundays and does very little else. And then he's probably trying to also sleep with your wife or your girlfriend. So, yeah, I cannot help but agree with a lot of what you just said. However, I still have to have faith that there is a higher power, and we are a product of intelligent design as opposed to evolution. Although, honestly, just between you and me, evolution is putting forth a very strong argument. I mean, when you think intelligently and you think clearly, you have to give Darwin his due. And but still, I hold out hope that there is a higher power guiding things, directing, overseeing, and there is a purpose to this life.
Isn't that just your ego? That you feel that your ego is telling you that, you know, I'm special, I'm in the middle, God is watching me.
Mm-hmm.
Someone has to be taking notes of me and what I'm doing and every sin and everything I do. There has to be someone in heaven, some conscious being, because when I die, I have to go somewhere and my mm-hmm. memories have to be, you know, put somewhere in the memory bank of, you know, universe, and I have mm-hmm. to, my soul. Is it just your ego just telling you, you know, you think you're just so special? Well, really, you're just one single carbon unit in this big universe.
Yep.
And you really don't have any importance. Why just can't be happy for, you know, your mother and all the eggs she has in her
mm-hmm.
body and all the sperm your dad has, and
mm-hmm.
you just happen to make it here? And why you just can't be grateful for just your life and just all, you know, anything could have happened through that 9-month pregnancy and you just happen to be born and all that sperm, and why you just can't be grateful for your life you have now? And why do you feel that there has to be some soul or some memory bank or some white cloud that you go to
mm-hmm.
when you die? It just seems like religion has, it's a lot of ego. It's like, you know, I'm so special and God, you know, made me in charge and I take care of the animals and the earth, and, you know, it just seems like man has a lot of ego with him and he needs to let go of that ego and understand that he's just part of the fabric of, you know, the universe. He's just stardust. Like everything else.
Would you think that perhaps maybe it's the reverse of ego? Maybe it's not ego. Maybe it's a form of humility that I do not, for example, me as a Christian, me as a believer, I don't believe that I am, you know, the alpha and the omega myself, that I was born here, I'm living here, I do whatever I want to do, act however I want to act, and then I die and then I'm done. That there is someone or something rather greater than myself guiding and directing our lives. In that regard, maybe it's not so much ego, but a form of humility. What do you think about that?
I understand the part you say there's something greater than you. I believe there's something greater than me. I'm just one single carbon unit in this little backwater of the Milky Way. So I understand there's something greater than me. But the thing is, this thing that's greater than me, it's this thing conscious of me,
mm-hmm.
being that this thing created the entire universe, and I'm just a little dot on a little blue ball in the backwaters of the Milky Way. Why would this thing that created the entire universe, billions of light years away, and the universe is so humongous, why would this thing be conscious of little me? And why would it matter? Why would this thing that created the entire universe care about this little one single carbon unit in the backwaters of the Milky Way? That's what I'm trying to understand. Why do you guys feel that there's something, there's someone taking notes of your mundane life. You know, I don't understand.
You know what? I tell you what. Let's just be completely honest and candid here. As I often am, not always, but often enough, I have often pondered that very same thing. I mean, often. Why? Why would this be? You said it eloquently, and you say it the way that I think it often. Why would that be? And I ask myself that question all the time, but especially I ask that question when I hear about a child being abducted, or a young woman being raped and then murdered, or a missing child, like the three missing young boys, and I forget which state they're missing from, but it was cold, and the father just dropped them off in a woodsy area and left them. He is now in jail, but the children are out there somewhere. I don't know if they survived. I don't believe so. They have yet to be found. Three cute little boys. Now, if there is a God, why didn't he rescue these three little boys? Why doesn't he stop rapes and murders and all the things that go on in the world? And sometimes I sit and I wonder about these things, and it does shake my faith often. And then I have to wonder that, I have to have something. I think a great many people feel exactly what I'm about to express. There has to be some reason why things happen the way they do.
That's when the placebo comes in.
Mm-hmm.
I guess your frontal cortex has to say that there's something, but maybe the reality is maybe the father was the son's God. He was their God. He was supposed to protect them and keep them warm and safe. He was their God. Everything is God. From a butt of cigarette to a newborn mm-hmm. child, everything is God. It all just stardust. So his father was their God. His father was supposed to protect him.
Right, but then again, Kay Collins just noted, and I was about to say it too, we think alike. God did say that we have free will and that we will be judged in the end, at the end of our lives.
Egyptian, when you say he'd be judged, mm-hmm. that goes back to Egyptian folklore where the heart was weighed against the feather, Maat and mm-hmm. Horus and Osiris. That's what I'm saying. Religion is, Christianity is just a recycling of other myths and folklores. And I think if you take the time to study these myths, these folklores, you have a better understanding of Christianity. And because I feel like Christianity, no offense to you, but I feel Christianity is just maybe the last story. It seems like it keeps getting recycled. Stories keep getting changed. People's names keep getting changed from Osiris to Jesus. So to Zeus having a son by Hercules, and it's all these stories just keep getting recycled, and we just got the last version of this story, but it happened to be Christianity.
Well, here's the thing. I have studied. I'm a biblical scholar, but most of my scholarly endeavors, as far as the Bible is concerned, are mostly rooted in Revelations. So there's quite a few areas of the Bible and books of the Bible that I cannot speak to intelligently, and I won't. But I will say this: when you mention that folklore and myths have been passed down and names have been changed and all that, I mean. Perhaps I'm grasping at straws here, but I remember back when I was a young Marine, we used to call the Corporal of the Guard not by radio or by phone, but from one century to the next at the next post. And we had an exercise where the drill instructor would whisper a set of orders in one of the Marines' ears at the very beginning of the line. And then the next Marine, the Marine would relay these orders to the next Marine, and on and on and on and on and on down the line until he got to the last Marine, which happened to be me. And by the time this order got to me, it had been completely changed from the order that was given to the first Marine at the beginning of the line, meaning that names were changed, times were changed, dates were changed, and the whole order was completely different from its original intent. And I tend to believe that the Bible and that a lot of the things, the biblical books, chapters, were done that way. Whereas at the beginning there was the Dead Sea Scrolls and how they were written. And then, of course, we know that there were several books omitted from the King James Version of the Bible. And so I think what we have is a watered-down version of Scripture.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of what you said, I do agree with. A lot of what you said, I embrace. A lot of what you said makes so much sense. I mean, just plain old, ordinary, old-fashioned sense. But I think what it boils down to for me and a great many other people is we want to believe that there is something more than just birth and death, and then we're done. We want to believe.
That's the ego.
Well,
life could be a wonderful thing. I don't understand.
Yeah.
What's the big hang-up? You know.
I mean, the thing is, I cannot speak for every Christian, of course, but me as a Christian, I want to believe that that birth and death is not the end. And
yes,
you may be right. It may be ego. It may be just that. You're right. It may be just that. But what's wrong with that?
Nothing.
What is wrong with wanting to believe that there is more?
And that's the ego. But that's what they taught the slaves. They taught the slaves that, you know, you work hard and, you know, you obey your master, and in the end, when you die, you go to heaven and you get rewarded.
So I didn't know that. I wasn't aware of that. Where'd you get that from?
I've read articles of slave owners used to be mm-hmm. pastors too, and they used to teach their slaves, and you know, the slave owners built churches, and they would have the slaves to come into churches and preach to them. And they'll point out parts of the Bible and say, well, you know, obey your master and work hard and be honest, and then when you die, you go to heaven and get all these rewards. This was a perfect, you know, this was perfect for slaves.
Well,
they kept
slaves
in line. And
well,
I feel like, you know, you're kind of caught up in slave, you know, kind of mindset without really realizing it.
Well, I don't agree with that. What I would agree with is that slave masters probably took great liberties with Bible scripture. And they used those scriptures for their own ends, to control their slaves. Much like the teachings of Nostradamus, his quatrains predicted the downfall of a man called Hister, ruler of a great Gaelic nation. Sound familiar? Hitler.
Yeah.
Hitler took those quatrains and completely twisted them around to suggest that he was who he should be and doing what he should be doing, and that he would rule and that the Third Reich would last for 1,000 years, according to Nostradamus. So I'm using that analogy to suggest that you can take there have been so many instances throughout history where Bible scripture and Bible prophecy has been used by individuals and organizations alike to promote their own ends. And so, I mean, I couldn't agree more. But with that, but I have to say that I think that, you know, when I don't know, you know, when my mom,
my study of Nostradamus,
mm-hmm.
he made a lot of predictions.
Yeah.
He made so many predictions that, you know, it kind of like he's going to get one right, one or two or three right eventually, because they don't talk about all the predictions that didn't come through. They just talk about the ones that kind of come close, and you know, it's the ultimate con game. You got to understand. You got every.
Well, he got. Well, the truth. I mean, I don't mean to cut you off. I respect your opinion, but he 78% of his predictions in his quatrains came true. That's better than 50%, and a lot of them have yet to be fulfilled. I mean, he's only gotten less than a dozen wrong so far. Less
to
than
me,
a dozen.
He hasn't got any right.
Well, I mean, it would depend upon, you know, you're a skeptical person and you have a skeptical mind. And in my opinion, you won't see because you don't want to see. You
anything
won't believe.
Like,
you don't.
Anything.
I mean, I understand the. I mean, I understand the process because a lot of times I go through it myself. But I think the issue here is you don't believe in these things because you don't want to, and you know, the reason why I can say this to you with a certainty that I believe this is the case, because a lot of times I don't want to. Like I said, when I see, when I watch the news and I hear about all these terrible things happen, I wonder, and I say to myself,
terrible things have always happened. There's always been earthquakes. There's always been hurricanes. There's always been rape and murder. These things always happen. The only thing different is we're more connected with the rest of people around us. So we think that it's more than what it's supposed to be, but really, it's, you know, man has always been a violent individual. So it's always been, you know, the earth, nature has always been violent. The universe is chaotic. These things have always been. The thing is, we are more connected with, you know, with the rest of the world. So we feel like, you know, it's more, the level's been turned up. But really, it really just always been the same. There's always been, you know, chaos and, you know, mayhem in the world. But we feel like, you know, okay, it's more earthquakes and more thunderstorms than usual, so, you know, the world must be coming to an end. And really, it's, you know, it's all just nature. Man,
you mentioned your age, and I'm sorry, it slipped my mind. How old are you once more?
26.
26. Okay. You may be too old for this analogy, but I'm going to go ahead and make it anyway. When I was 17, I joined the Marine Corps. I was 3 months into my 17th birthday. And when I joined the Marine Corps, I completely and utterly bought in to the Marine Corps doctrine that I was invincible. That I was, after graduation from boot camp, in San Diego, MCRD, Platoon 1025, trained by Staff Sergeant Leha, that I was invincible, that I was the greatest warrior of all time. I was in a group of the greatest warriors of all time. I bought into that. And it was only after going into war and being involved in countless battles that I understood that I am not invincible. I am brittle. I am.
Yes, the human body is very fragile.
Right. I can be killed. I can be hurt. I can be wounded. I will get tired. I will fall asleep when I'm not supposed to. All of the stuff they said would never happen, it happened. I mean, I did suffer a bit of fear from time to time, not much, by the way, but just a bit.
Natural things, natural.
Right, right. So I think I'm going to cut this off and not make it so much about me, but go back and say that I discovered that what I was told and what I was bred to believe wasn't necessarily true, but there was a method to it. It was to condition me for what would inevitably come if my service in the military lasted longer than just a few months. Because on average, the United States of America goes to war on average every 20 years with somebody. So if I stayed long enough, chances are I was going to go to war and I need to be conditioned for what was to happen. But when I was a young Marine, I believed that I was invincible and I was once a great warrior. And I believe that you as a young man, you don't believe. And I think that perhaps if you live just a little bit longer, maybe you'll change your mind. Because it's not so much about what you can see and what you can touch and what you can feel. It's what you believe. It's faith.
That's the thing. I don't need a belief. I need to know. I can't do anything with a belief. I need to know. I need facts. If it can't be weighed or measured, it does not exist. And that's the way I kind of live my life.
Let me just ask you this. One day I was on Brickell Avenue in Miami. The year was 1997. I was just about to cross the street and go over to Biscayne Park. And as I was about to cross the street, I stepped off the curb and a bus came roaring by. And someone's hand grabbed my collar from behind and yanked me back just before that bus destroyed me, killed me. Now, was it just not my time to go? Or was it fate? Was it God's hand? No, it was the man behind me. But why do you think, what do you think about that? Do you think that it was fate or it was just not my time to go? Or maybe God had a plan for me? What are your thoughts?
I've had this conversation with other people of faith, other pastors, and they've told me similar stories of near death. Even I have my own near death experience.
Mm-hmm.
But and I gotta admit, that's the only thing that keeps me searching is those near death experiences where I say, if I just went left instead of right, would I be here or not? That's the only hook that keeps me searching. And I gotta admit, That's out of all the texts I've read, all the Bible verses I've read and everything I've read, those near death experiences are the only thing that keeps me searching for this, I guess you would call, a higher power. And you know, and that's only that keep my interest. Other than that, I gotta say I kind of trying to stay level bound, but No, I'm not going to go into the story of my near-death experience. I think everyone has gone through some type of near-death experience. It's funny, you know. You know, driving a car is just so dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, so it's most likely everyone has some story of some near-death experience.
Right. Well,
this to a higher power? I don't know. I'm still, right. You know.
I have had several near-death experiences. Now I'm 48, so, you know, when if you really want to be technical and be scientific about it, maybe there's a law of averages there that you're going to have so many, you know, in so many years of life. But I have had several, and given the fact that most of them occurred while I was a Marine, you know, you can argue either way. But, you know, once again, I tend to lean towards agreeing with you when you talk about driving a car down the road. I mean, anything can happen. You're not in control of the person to your left or to your right or in front of you or behind you. I mean, it could be it's like a game of pinball, basically.
Yeah.
You know, you're the ball. You don't get hit this day, but, you know, you might get hit the next day. You know, it's all, and it seems very random to me at times. But I think there's a fine line between what you think and the way you think of this and the way I do. And that fine line is, I still have faith that there is a higher purpose and a higher power. And the reason I have faith is I often believe that I have evidence that there is, and you believe that there is evidence to the contrary. And that is the only thing that separates how you think and how I think. Ideology, I mean, none of that separates you and I, because a lot of times I think, I'm overstressing, but I think the way you think a lot of times, but the major difference is I have faith and you don't. And I mean, and there's, honestly, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't have a problem with it. Is there anything more you'd like to share?
Not really. I'm comfortable with the universe being random. I'm comfortable. I have no choice but to be comfortable with that, because that's the way it is. The universe is random. This universe is stars exploding, and you know things. You know, shit happens.
But wait a minute now. Wait a minute now. What do you think about this particular the solar system that we are currently in, and the fact that scientists have proven so far that the way that the Earth was formed and came together and came to be what it is that it became to be to establish, to be able to host life such as us, and there had to be an incredible set of random circumstances to make that come about. I mean,
I do agree with that. Because we haven't found any other life in other planets or in the solar system, it just piqued my interest that we just happen to be just so far from the sun and just so far from the moon, and the moon does what it does to keep the tides moving, and you know everything's kind of lined up to allow life to live. But
it all seems so very much by design, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But hey,
well,
and that's the hook. That's the thing. How do you define life? You know, how do you define consciousness? Is, you know, to say that this is another planet that only has, you know, different elements on it, and you know that's considered, you know, how do you define life? We just happen to be conscious of our environment. So what? You know, there's other things, you know, going on in the universe. We just happen to be conscious of that.
Well, I mean, you define life the way you define life. I mean, there are a variety of life forms on this planet. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of life forms that are completely different from one another. But the tie that the ties that bind are life. Now, I would perhaps agree just a bit more with you if we ever do find life existing on another planet, some form of life that is relatively similar to our own. Otherwise, I can't possibly believe that.
Just enslave it.
Well, probably. You never know. I mean, you watch those movies from the 50s, like I did. You know, where you know Gort comes down, and the War of the Worlds. You know, all that stuff happens. You know, there have been movies where life forms came down and tried to enslave us. You know, V's coming back next month, but. So, I mean, come on, we're not all evil. I mean, life in outer space can, you know, come has tried to destroy us, according to the movies. But anyway, the point is...
Let's cut you off. Can you imagine teaching that life form about Jesus Christ? You know, can you imagine some astronaut landing on the planet, learning that there's life, intelligent life, and trying to teach that life about Christianity?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure that would be the case. I mean, it's almost embarrassing to admit.
Yeah.
But that might be the case. I mean, how many times have Europeans gone into places where they believe them the places to be primitive?
Yeah.
And attempted to teach them the ways of Jesus and Christianity. I mean, I cannot argue with those things. And but what I can disagree with you on is an act of faith that there is something more and there is a purpose to this life other than to be born and then to die, that there is a purpose. There is a reason for this season tomorrow, the day we celebrate of Jesus Christ. And faith, just faith. I mean, all the other things that you spoke about, well, I cannot argue with those things if I'm a logical, reasonably intelligent person. And I consider myself to be just that. But I can suggest that there are signs, there is enough evidence out there, if you choose to accept it, to suggest that there is reason to have faith. And of course I do.
There's enough evidence to prove that UFOs exist. There's no evidence to prove Bigfoot exists. There's no evidence to prove the Loch Ness Monster exists.
Come on, there's no evidence to prove any of those things. Come on, you gotta be kidding me.
It depends on what do you choose to, what do you choose to buy into. It's up to you. What do you choose to buy into?
Well, and that's the thing, though, isn't it? If you choose to buy into it. And a lot of us choose to buy into it. And unlike a lot of atheists, I don't have a problem with an atheist not believing. We can still be friends. We can be buddies. We can hang. I don't have a problem with that. But why is it that atheists tend to have a problem with us believing? You're an atheist, I presume.
This is my reason. My personal reason why I don't like, I disagree with Christianity. It's the Jim Jones thing, the Heaven Gates thing. When people, I'm afraid, yeah. I tell my kids about, I try to explain religion to them because I don't want them to be taken advantage of by guys like Jim Jones or
Sent
preachers. I don't want them to fall for the con. And that's my only beef with religion. If you can meditate, pray, whatever you want to do, do it. But I don't want my child to commit suicide thinking that this is a way into some type of paradise or whatever. I just want, I don't want them to be con, basically. So that's my only beef with religion.
Well, once again,
man,
and it's so unfortunate, that you and I agree, because, there have been over the centuries, those who would take Bible scripture, prophecy, and people who believe, and twist the meanings and scriptures for their own evil purposes, and I do mean that. I mean, like Reverend Jim Jones, I agree with you, and of course the storefront preachers and the pimp preachers and all those folks, but you and I are not that far apart on this. I don't go to church. I will not set foot in a church again. Because I do not believe in organized religion, and I believe that a lot of it's just a bunch of, folks, who are a bunch of hypocrites. They go to church on Sunday and they sin on Monday. And, but I understand that even those people are exercising what I exercise, faith, that there is something more, that there is a higher power. And for that,
what do you do about that? You understand it's a high power. Okay, now what? Should I pay homage to this high power? High power mind? What does high power care if I pay homage to it? And why would it?
Before I answer that, let me ask you this question, because I have a person in the chat room, Yahoo chat bar, who wants to know if you disagree with all organized religion or just Christianity.
I got a problem with all organized religion. I just seem to gravitate toward Christianity because I guess I live around a bunch of Christians and Baptists.
Okay. All right, I think she heard you. So, yeah. Well, once again, you and I agree. I have a problem with organized religion as well. I remember going to church as a kid. I don't know if you ever did, but going to church as a kid was such a chore. You had to get up early in the morning on a Sunday, put on your very, very best, and then go to church and sit in a pew, and you had no idea what they were talking about. Or why, and all you wanted to do was get out to the hallway or the place where they had the sweet rolls or whatever, and get some of that and get the hell out of there. I mean, it was, and then if you weren't in your very best Sunday best, as they called it, they may still call it that, but back then they called it your Sunday best. When you were not in your Sunday best, they would talk about you. Oh, they would talk behind your back. And then I'd hear all kinds of gossip. They were thinking I wasn't listening because I'm a little kid. But I'm hearing gossip about so-and-so doing this and so-and-so doing that and so-and-so sleeping with this person and that person. And, of course, we had the Reverend Jesse Jackson in my hometown of Chicago, and there was always gossip about him sleeping with this young lady or that young lady. I bet Jesse has more kids than a preschool. Running around all over the world. You got more grown children running around than I heard this back in the early 70s. So when you hear about that stuff and you're a young man like me, a young kid, you become jaded with organized religion and going to church pretty easily. But I have to go back all that stuff being aside, because I do not attend organized religious services. I don't go to church.
How do you worship God?
That's
what I'm saying. How do you worship that your faith that you keep talking about? Jesus,
how I do it is I don't, honestly, there's a reason to do it. There is a reason, and I don't often read the Bible. I don't have a Bible sitting on the mantle, you know, with some candles and all that stuff, and it's open. And it's open, not open to a particular verse and all that. You know, it's not all that. And I'm my biblical scholar. I have a certificates and all that stuff, but most of it has something. It has almost everything to do with Revelations, the Book of Revelations, and the end times. No. I am not an atheist just like you. The difference, because there's a fine line, remember? There's a fine line. I choose to believe that there is a higher power, that there is something more to this life than just living and dying, and that there is an all-seeing, all-knowing entity that is guiding and directing. I believe that. I have faith. Belief and faith are contradictory, so I'll just say I have faith that there is. And that's the difference. That's the only difference between you and I right now. I guess if I wasn't holding on
Is this a fear of hell? No. They teach that a lot. They try to drill that into us. They want us to believe in some pitchfork demon in the center of the earth. You know, they try to, are you scared into faith?
No, it has a lot to do with the signs I saw as a young man, with things that occurred where I would have a friend who was dying in my arms and on a battlefield someplace in Panama or in Lebanon. I was in the Marine barracks that was blown up back in Lebanon. You were probably not even born, or you were probably a very, very, very small child when that occurred. I was in that barracks, and when I had a young Marine or two or three dying near me, they were telling me what they were seeing as they were fading away, and they were talking to people who weren't there, not that I could see, and then they were gone. And when that sort of thing happens, you wonder, well, as a smart, right-thinking person, a person of science, a person of intellect, you wonder, well, is it just a chemical imbalance? Was it just something chemical going on in their brains that caused them to see their mothers or their uncles or their grandfathers and talk to them, tell their mom that they loved them, and then hear back, apparently, that mom says that she loves you too and she's waiting for you? You know, all this, I mean, basic conversations with somebody who wasn't there. You wonder, was it a chemical? Is it a chemical thing? Or perhaps, just perhaps, is there something more? And so when I have these things happening to me throughout my young life, and then with my mom passing away in 2004, and I'm sitting in her living room only hours after she's gone, and I hear her in the house talking to me. She's saying something to me. I can't, and you know what? Honestly, I can't quite make out exactly what she's saying, but I hear her voice such to the extent that I get up and walk around looking for her. I'm not crazy. And as you've heard over the last hour or so, I agree with a lot of what you grew. So I'm not some zealot, but I hear her, and so I get up and I'm wondering, okay, who's in the house with me? I thought this house was empty. I thought everybody else had gone home, you know. So I start walking around trying to find this voice that's talking to me, and it's my mom's voice. But my mom isn't there. So who was it? Was I suffering from some sort of a chemical imbalance? Was I imagining it? Did I want to hear my mom's voice, or did I hear it? So when you put these sort of things together that happen over a series of events that happen over years, you wonder and you want to believe. And that's the difference, I think, between me and you. When these things happen, I want to believe because I experienced these things. And maybe you haven't yet, and maybe you will. And then you'll believe, and maybe you won't, and then you won't. Or maybe you will, and then you still won't believe. I understand.
But believe in what? That's the thing. You want to believe that there's some old man sitting on a cloud taking notes of, you know, my mundane life? Like, what do you want
no,
to believe
I don't
wanna,
in? No, I don't want to believe. I don't believe in that. And I think you get the picture that I don't believe in that. But I do believe that there is something more, that there is a higher power out there, that there is a purpose for my existence. And that when I die, based on all the evidence and all the people that have gone before me right in front of my very eyes, that there is an afterlife. And
that's the ego. They
well,
think they,
or if it's a, it's an ego or is it experience?
Some
I mean,
after,
let me ask
after,
you.
Look what you call it, afterlife. Like, you want to
life
still
after
live,
death.
You want to still live your life. You think you're so special that, you know,
well,
whatever
no,
you
no,
were
no.
doing, you know.
No. Listen now. I don't. Here's where we need to make a distinction. I have faith that this is the case. I don't necessarily. Belief and faith are not necessarily mutually exclusive. They're not necessarily the same thing. Wouldn't you agree? Because I have no real way of knowing. I have faith. So it's not an ego thing, is it? If you just want to believe something, then it's faith, and it's not a part. The ego doesn't play a part in it. Wouldn't you agree with that? I mean, if I said yes, this is a fact. This is exactly what's going to happen. When I die, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to meet God. I'm going to meet my aunts and uncles and cousins and nieces and nephews and my dog, Piggy is up there, my dog from when I was like 6 years old. Piggy's going to be there, and all the rats I killed and those hamsters, everything's going to be there. If I said that, then that would be ego, and it would even be just a little crazy. But I'm not saying
okay,
that. I'm saying that I'm having faith that this is, that maybe maybe, just maybe, this is what's going to happen. Anyway, we're all out of time. It is 21:59, and I got to go. I really do appreciate your call, and wow, we talked for nearly a whole hour. Thank you so much for calling, and maybe I'll hear from you again.
Okay, thanks for having me on.
Hey, you're welcome. You take care now.
Cancel the apocalypse.
All right. Bye-bye now. Okay. Wow. He was a great caller. Wasn't he great? Wow. I really did enjoy talking to that. Anyway, I'm out. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. I can't even play any music right now. I'm done. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. I'll see you guys on Monday. All right. Bye.